Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger, and today's show features a conversation around healing and money. So if you're unhappy about your money situation, learn how to turn your money and finances around to happy money. Yes, indeed. Back for a second time in the show is the Japanese maverick, Ken Honda. Very exciting that he is here again today. He's been so kind. He stepped out of his own retreat that he's given right now in Japan in real time to be with us today. So we will get with him in just a minute. The Dare to Dream show has been nominated for two People's Choice Podcast Awards, for a Webby Award, and we won the Coalition for Visionary Resources Award for Best Radio and Podcast Show. And Dare to Dream is listed in Welp Magazine as one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dade here in Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. If you would like to be a facilitator or do energy work or have it done on you or go to one of their courses, go to Dr. Dane, D-A-I-N here, H-E-R.com or accessconsciousness.com. And I am Debbie Dashinger. I'm a media visibility expert. I show entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, people just like you, how to be interviewed on radio and podcasts, how to write a highly engaging page turner book, and then my company turns your book into a guaranteed international bestseller. And I have a course coming up. I know the last time I did it, many of you found me from the podcast. So join us if you're ready to be interviewed, but don't know how, or maybe you're doing it and you're not quite getting the results that you thought you would. You want to go to debbied.net/challenge. And this is the 5-day podcast interview challenge. What will you get? You're going to learn how to get a yes in order so you are scheduled on radio and podcast and media interviews. Where are the right shows for your expertise? Have your talking points prepared to give to the host for your interview. I show you how to do all of this, align with the right podcast for hundreds of bookings. Have your media info ready, the correct approach to get a yes for an interview, how to engage with influencers, be introduced to hundreds of new clients, followers, sell books, fill workshops, and increase your email database. One of my classes has come to an end, and I heard from one of the gals, her first interview ever, she only had 700 people watching her in an interview on YouTube, and she reported she got 5 people who have connected with her to talk further and just got 2 brand new clients. Her first interview. So just imagine if you did 5 of those in a month, how would that impact your business? What's possible? So learn how to do this so you can get massive results. The program is rolling out. Will you be one of the lucky ones to learn and use this amazing and very important skill of being visible and being interviewed? Go to debbied.net/challenge. That's debbied.net/challenge. And I look forward to working with you. So yes, indeed, today we're speaking with a man who asks, is your money smiling? My guest is Ken Honda, author of Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Money and happiness expert Ken Honda is a best-selling self-development author in Japan with book sales surpassing 8 million copies. Ken studied law in Tokyo and worked as a business consultant and investor. Ken's financial expertise comes from owning and successfully managing several businesses. His writings bridge the topics of finance and self-help, focusing on creating and generating personal wealth and happiness through deeper self-honesty. Ken provides ongoing support through mentoring programs, business seminars, therapeutic workshops, and correspondent courses. He's fluent in Japanese and English. He lived in Boston, Massachusetts for 2 years and currently resides in Tokyo, Japan. You can learn more at kenhonda.com. And with that, I welcome the amazing Ken Honda back to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
Hello, Debbie. I'm so happy to be back on your show. It's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years. You were last on the show in September 2019. And little did you and I know that about 4 months later, the world was going to turn on its axis.
Yes, so yes. It's amazing.
Tell me, how did you fare through the pandemic?
So I was lucky to be able to have more time with my family. Hmm. And where I am is a 2-hour ride from Tokyo. So there are more deer than people.
Oh.
And so this place, we have so many rooms. And there's no lockdown situation in Tokyo or in Japan. So our life is very calm and nothing really did change. The only thing is like I don't have to be at the party somewhere for my friends, you know, seminars and stuff. So through the past 2 years, we really enjoyed very quiet time. Now we're back in more busy, meeting people, which I enjoy. But those few years are the most peaceful after I got out of semi-retirement almost 20 years ago.
Wow. And did you do anything? Were you working on any projects besides looking at deer and enjoying your family?
Yeah. So I started an online salon, which may be a little bit unique, but online salon is an interesting way of connecting people. So I have one of the largest online salon in Japan. So one time we hit about like 20,000 people on online. It's a subscription membership, so we get together once or twice a month and talk about a lot of life issues. So during the pandemic, I was the one who connected everybody. So we sort of like as a whole group, we just share everything together. And then we got through. So we have this comradeship that we've been together. And so we have like a big family now. And now I'm doing a similar thing in English speaking community. So, and last month, I did a world tour around from Europe to US, Australia, and back. So I met those people who I just only met in Zoom.
Oh, wow.
So it was so much fun to go around the world meeting my Zoom friends. So I felt so weird that they like came out from the screen.
That must have been amazing. Kudos to you for creating a safe space for people. That must have really meant a lot. I think people needed connection so deeply, it became apparent to all of us, whether we're introverts or extroverts or half and half, we really need each other.
Yes, indeed. And I'm half and half, you know, part of me is very quiet and shy. So I don't mind being here for 2 weeks alone or with my family, just keep writing. And the part of me just enjoy to talk to thousands of people or being at the party with 200 people. This mountain time is like very quiet time for me.
Beautiful. So let's talk about money and see if we can help some people.
Great.
First, what is emotional intelligence when it comes to money? How do you define that?
Yeah, so money emotional intelligence is how healthy you are with your money. You know, it doesn't really matter how much you have or how much you make. It's about how you relate to money. Unfortunately, most of us relate to money in our own unique way. A lot of us became a spender, a warrior, and a money maker, and a saver. We ended up being a certain type, depending on what we believe. But if we spend too much, if we save too much, if we make too much, it's not good for you. That's, I hope, one day if I become a prime minister of Japan, I want to print them in yen, you know. Making too much, saving too much is not good for your health. You know, I want those lines on bills.
Okay. So yes, I know in your book, you break down the different places we can go. And I'm sure that people who are listening can self-identify and say, yeah, it's true. I make money and it disappears. Mm-hmm. Or I overspend, or I'm a debtor, or I'm so concerned about the future. I save and I save and I save, or I undermake, or I overearn, mm-hmm. and et cetera. So yeah, we've all got our lane. So where does that stem from? I was wondering, is it really important when we grow up that parents talk about money, that we get groomed for money? And then if we weren't, where does that leave us?
You know, we weren't really taught about money by our parents. So if our parents didn't teach us, did our school teachers teach us? I mean, school teachers are far from being a good teacher when it comes to money. So, and so we learned from brothers and sisters, or our neighbors, or our colleagues. So the funny thing is, we've never learned formally about money in our entire life. So I've done a lot of seminars, money seminars in my life, and many students say, this is my first time in my life, and I'm 54, and I've never had any money education. And so what have you done? You know, and my student would say, that's why I'm here. I'm so messed up, you know. So nobody told us what to do and how to manage things. And if you are a good manager, still you cannot really enjoy money. Money is to be enjoyed, not to be worried about or just scared about.
Yeah, it's true. You know, three very important things: parenting, never talked about. We're supposed to figure it out. Sex, never talked about it. We're supposed to figure it out. Money, never talked about. But, you know, we learn other things that maybe are not so germane to our lives. And it is frustrating to get out into the world and be an adult and figure it out. So people come to you. You've got someone at your seminar right now, 54, saying, oh my goodness, I'm here. You know, can you help? And I'm sure someone's life is going to be turned around by virtue of working with you. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend for people to heal these wounds?
So the most important thing is that you feel appreciation and love around money, because money can be love. I look at everything as energy. So in your life, what kind of energy is flowing in your house, flowing in your workplace, flowing between you and your partner or in your family? And it's related to how we make money. If we make money by doing what we love, there's a lot of laughter, smiles, and appreciation. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a good coach, you are good at coaching people, your clients appreciate you, you receive the money with a smile, mm-hmm. and so you can spend that money with happy feeling to your family and to charity, and when you pay bills, you smile too. But when we do things that don't really bring you joy, you feel irritated to begin with. So when you receive a check, you get resentful because you're getting this little for all the sacrifice you made. Mm-hmm. So if your kids are wasting your money, you get upset because the precious money that I earned out of my sacrifice gets wasted. That's why our parents used to scold us, you know, yell at us, because they were upset long before we do something wrong. So we just trigger them to get upset. And also when we pay bills, we feel upset because we exchange our life force, precious life force energy with money. So when we pay bills, we feel like a part of our body gets ripped off almost. Mm. And then we feel sacrificed and then resentful for outrageous prices. These days, gas, electricity, food, everything is going up. So we feel like we are drowning in the water of bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you add debt to it, that's very difficult for people. Do you have methods for folks? Let's say somebody does have a tremendous amount of debt and mm-hmm. does feel like they're drowning and doesn't really see a way out. Like, I'm going to spend my life even attempting to pay this off meagerly. What do you recommend? Like, how do you work with people so that they can turn that around?
Yeah, so a student of mine came to me and shared a beautiful story. His father passed away, and then they found out that his father's company owed $3 million. And then he could have just given up the inheritance, meaning that he doesn't inherit his debt, his father's debt. But strangely, he accepted it because that's what his father owed. I think I should pay. That's very Asian, like, to save his father's honor. And he left his job and started working. And for the 10 years, he put all the energy in paying all the debt back. So in literally, he had to make $600,000 to pay the debt. He worked so hard. He came up with great ideas because he had to pay back the debt. And he did it in 10 years, but he still kept this working earning ability. And by then he had this ability to make 1 million profit. So in a few years, he became a millionaire. So in retrospect, he shared with me, his father didn't leave a debt. His father left him with a business school that gave him the power to earn $1 million every year. So he forever appreciates his father and his father's debt because that debt made him strong and then made him more creative, made him focus more on business. If he was working in a company, he would never made that much money. So if you just turn around what you relate to debt, you can be so free from money in a few years. The only thing is how you relate to money.
So tell me what you're hearing. You've got a retreat going on right now. It's live. You said this is your third day. You woke up early just to be with me. What are you
For everybody
hearing?
too.
And for everybody too. So yeah, what is the tenor that's going on in your retreat of the people who are attending? What is the focus for most people? What is the wound? Where do you see the gift? What is the pattern that's unfolding there?
Yeah, this 3-day retreat is how to become a writer and best-selling author. So they're already, some of them are already, they've sold hundreds of thousands of copies already. But they are here to find who they are. And at the core of your trauma, at the core of everything what happened to you can scoop up the energy that kept you going, and that energy can serve other people too. For example, if somebody had a tough relationship, one of the students got out from ugly divorce and all that, so she can share her ideas of how to find peace in the middle of ugly divorce. And there are other people who suffer from a certain illness, and then they got out. And learn about a lot about how to eat like a microbiotic way or healthy food. Some of them became chef, and then she released her book about a few months ago, and that book became a national bestseller now. So she got sick. That's bad news. But the way she kind of came up with her own recipe for herself and also for her family is making her very famous here. So all the bad things that happened, that all the bad things that seemed that happened years ago, is actually the same energy that's going to transform your life and then transform others. So negative things that happen in your life are usually the one to give you the energy if you are aware of it.
This is so pertinent right now in my life, and never an accident, the synchronicity that you would bring this up, because this is something we hear. We're in a spiritual community, we hear this, we know this, but to know it is one thing. To actually be able to apply it to your life is magic. And I'm working with somebody right now who is breaking down a particular relationship for me, that was difficult in my childhood. and acknowledging that difficulty, like this person had no right XYZ. However, I want to show you who you've become. I want you to understand what you had to do to supersede that. He was showing me the arc and the magic. And I felt appreciation. Truly, for the first time, I was able to be distant from that relationship and have so much appreciation for what my soul agreed to experience. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. And then once I accepted that, I stepped outside into my backyard and suddenly I had this flood of thinking about somebody else currently who was a little bit difficult and, you know, had brought some difficulties that had nothing to do with me, but into my path, and thinking about them and saying, wow, look what I did. I could have laid down and rolled over, but instead, you know, I got on this healing path, like what needs to change in my space that I would even attract this, and healing all that, and having so much appreciation. And that appreciation, honestly, it completely transmutes the energy. It takes the victim out, and we become so empowered over the situation instead.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
So when you share this, you know, these difficulties that your students have been through, and now they're writing books about it and, you know, cookbooks and becoming famous, I love it, because we talk about how our mess becomes our message and our wound becomes our gift. And those become platitudes after a while. But when you can really live that out loud, and that becomes your song to the world, I think that is so powerful for us as beings, you know, to step out of the weight of what a difficult situation does and instead learn to empower ourselves over it.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like I'm on the front row seat, like, observing what's going on. So it's so beautiful how people find the biggest love out of all the sufferings in the past. And it's so amazing how they transform themselves into becoming a best-selling author.
And that's so perfect. It's great transition, because a quote from you, Ken, is whatever happens, you can say thank you. Thank you are the two most powerful words that will help you to start to transform your relationship with money. Clearly, as we're talking also with life and circumstances, break that down around money. What do you mean by that? What's the connection between thankfulness and finances?
I did a fun experiment when I was doing accounting and consulting. I divided my clients into two groups. One, I brought some Japanese tea, books, and small, like a $5, $10 gift. And the other, I didn't do anything, you know, for a test. And for the first one, I got so many referrals after 6 months. And then the second group, I got some, but the difference is like a few times, like 3 or 4 times more referrals from the group that I brought always something. And I kept saying, appreciate, thank you so much for the business. And then I realized that once I say, thank you so much for just working with me, just open up their heart. So when they found somebody who could be a good match for me, they referred to me. But if I didn't bring anything, if I didn't show my appreciation to my client, they're busy, right? So they don't think about me. So when they're asking, like, if they ask, do you know any good accountant or do good consultant, maybe they think of me. But they're not promoting me. So that's the difference. Once you are appreciated, you feel like appreciation back. So that is the magic of appreciation. So the money is the same thing. If you appreciate money, money will appreciate you back in a form of bringing its friend and then come back to you. So whenever I spend money, I always say, thank you, money. Come back with all your friends.
You know, I love that.
All the friends, you know, I have a nice house, so I know how to spend money, how to manage money. So bring all your friends back. And this gives me such a fun feeling. So I don't mind paying a lot of taxes. I don't mind paying huge bills because I know the money I spend will bring so many friends. So far, so good.
That's right. We'll have a party. We'll have a money party. Bring all your friends. I have plenty of room. Plenty to eat and drink, if you eat and drink.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Mm. But the great thing is they don't eat, they don't drink.
That's right. They're breatharians.
That's what we do.
Oh, man. You know, that's really interesting. It makes me think, when I'm not coaching, when I'm not doing this podcast, I sing. And I've got a band, and that's something that happened during COVID. It's old for me. I used to sing professionally, but it came back.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. I get to do meaningful songs. We perform for gigs, for thought leaders before their workshops. And we're also doing these sound healings and meditations.
Nice.
And I'm thinking about what you're saying, Ken, because in the last, we did a retreat. Someone was doing a retreat in Arizona and they hired us to come out. And each night before they did their, they started their workshop, we would entertain the audience. And I found, we also did morning meditation and sound healings, and I found something coming through me I'd never done before. Some of my singing is very spontaneous and ethereal. I don't know what's going to come out. It's a little bit channeled, but it's healing. And I found myself saying to the people attending, singing, thank you, thank you. You know, in the meditation, giving them affirming things to do and be and healing ways to see things, and then saying, thank you for being you, thank you for being here, you know, for the great work you've done so far. And I'm so encouraged hearing this, that to keep doing that, because how many, you know, isn't that beautiful to give to money who doesn't receive a lot of gratitude, and also people, you know, that you're describing you do for your clients or that I do through my singing, that people, how often do we hear that kind of appreciation just for being? I think that's very meaningful.
Yeah. So whenever I see a band in a hotel, mm-hmm. I always have a $10 bill with me, and to the each musician, I make sure that everybody gets my tip, and that's happy money.
Yeah. And you want to support your arts. That is powerful.
And amazingly, a lot of musicians are just tell me, you are the first customer, you know, who give me a tip. Or sometimes, like, you're the first customer in the whole week, and it's Friday night. Like, so nobody has tipped you? Nobody, you know. Nobody. Like, so it's amazing that we are not appreciated. Not many people give praises for you. So I'm the one who's like a happy panda or Santa Claus, who just say, you did a great job.
Oh, I love that. I need an animal. Well, my favorite animals are sloth and bat, so I don't think I could be a happy sloth. That won't work very well, but or happy lion, that will work. I love that, happy panda. That's a beautiful idea.
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, hi, Ken. Hi, little Ken, mini Ken. You know, towards the back of your book, I loved your book, and it's the second time I've read it now. Towards the back of your book, I don't know why this is the first time I caught it, but you said that you attended an all-boys Jesuit school.
Yes.
How was that for you? How did that inform who you've become?
You know, the person who was a Japanese priest came up with this idea that Bushido, the way of the warrior, and also Jesuits philosophy, he combined two, which made our school very strict and tough. So our priest said something like, can you die today? You know, so like, carpe diem, like seize the day type of idea. So as a samurai, you know, warrior, can you just kill yourself at every night? Think about it. Is this my best day ever? So like the strictness of Jesuit and the strictness of the samurai are combined. So they talk about love, and at the same time, they talk about serving other people. So the school really formed me into this idea that you're here to serve. And I think it's still with me. I forgot a lot of what my priest and teacher said, but I still remember that their dedication. So I think it's in me. I have a lot of so many fun memories with a Jesuit priest and my friends. They're my best friends still because we survived the war together.
The war of school? Are you talking yes. about?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of physical violence. You know, just say we get slapped, and I think all the teachers have to go to jail if they did the same thing now.
Wow, how was that for you? Was that did you resent them?
I kind of felt more love from them because they're not just acting out. So there's just there's love behind. So like 80 or 90% of it, you know, and like 10% of it, we thought it's just their frustration, you know. But I really enjoyed the friendship that we formed because of outrageous teachers. We kind of like we bonded. So once again, it's like that, you know, that toughness and craziness sometimes really made us so close. So I'm so close to some of my junior high and high school graduates because, you know, it's a 6-year intensive like war training. So it was so much fun.
Did you have to read a lot? Were you well read?
Yes, and also we have to read a Bible. So I'm one of the very few Japanese who had to read the Bible every day. So, you know, I understand how North American, you know, kids sometimes have to go through the Bible. And so I learned a lot. So I so enjoy the philosophy and the religion from the West. And also we learned about Zen at the same time. So I'm the hybrid now.
You're the businessman who also is Zen.
Yes. So I'm half Zen, half Christian in a sense. You know? Interesting hybrid.
Yeah, it's an interesting hybrid. That is. And I've heard it said out in the world that our challenges with money mirror our larger challenges with life. Mm-hmm. Is this just a myth or is there some validity to that? Why or why not?
Money pulls out a lot of emotions, both positive and positive and negative. You know, money makes you feel so loved, so warm, so happy, and so excited. At the same time, money can give you the worst feelings of all, like, you know, jealousy, competition, and depression, and, you know, money makes you feel scared, and all kinds of emotions. So unless you're careful with how you feel, it could ruin your life. So money can definitely transform your life in positive way and negative way. So you have to pay much attention to that.
Mm. Have you ever had money problems? Was there ever a time when it was a little out of control?
I'm so lucky, you know, I had a great father and also my mentor, so I could manage fairly well. You know, I have not many financial problems because I never borrowed anything from my money. I bought this retreat center in cash. So if you just do very conservative, you don't have to worry about money. You know, like can I pay the mortgage and stuff? If you just pay everything in cash, you don't have to worry about mortgage or make both ends meet. So if you play smart, you don't have to worry about money for the rest of your life, which I'd recommend because we consume so much energy toward worrying about money, thinking about money, planning about money. So my ideal situation that I can think of is money becomes air in your life. You know, it's air. So you know it exists and you breathe in and breathe out every day, but you don't think about it. Mm-hmm. You focus on what's important in your life and money can help you, but otherwise money is invisible. It's air, so you don't have to manage it. You just breathe in and breathe out.
Wow, I've never heard that before. So if you pay cash and you live conservatively but happily with money, you bless it and talk to it and so forth, then how much debt is too much debt? What is the line there?
So, a lot of money teachers say, debt is leverage, but I'm against the idea. When the economy is going up, it's great, but I've been saying that it's going to be a big crash coming last year, and then I think we're going to experience a lot of hardships from now. In the time of going down the hill, there's another rule. When everything's going up, debt can be a good leverage. But when you go down the hill, it could go against you. So you have to know which trend you're on. So I think from now, debt will pull you down in that sense, financially. Even though I just teach people how to turn how you relate to debt. Can change your life. But I think for your peace of mind, if you have no debt, I think you can sleep better.
I agree with that. And now I'm so curious about two things. You just said how you relate to debt is very informative. Will you break that down a little more?
Yeah, sure. So I teach people, and I ask them if they have debt. How does that make you feel? A lot of people internationally, they say the same thing. I feel heavy.
Yeah,
I
very.
feel heavy burden on my shoulders. That's what debt makes you feel. So that's why I don't have any, and I don't want to have any. But if you have that, can you think of that as heavy lift, heavy weight, or trust from somebody? Think about the situation like a few years ago. When you got the loan, they trusted you that you're capable of giving back the loan. Otherwise, they didn't loan you the money. So the debt is not the heavy, dark energy upon you. It's the trust that a bank or strangers or your family members placed on you. So that's why you could buy a car. That's why you could get a house or something that is expensive. If you wait until you can pay everything in cash, it takes a lot of time. So they trusted you, your ability to pay back. So interest and the mortgage is something that to appreciate the trust, you can show your appreciation in the form of interest. So you pay back every month saying, thank you so much for trusting me. I pay back this principal and interest to say, thank you so much for trusting me. Thank you for letting me use this house. Thank you for letting me use this car. Otherwise, I had to walk to my workplace. So if you can feel the debt is a love and trust upon you, that will lift you up. So if you just turn what you think and your belief system into a more positive and loving one, you feel much lighter.
Very interesting. Yeah, and that makes sense. And earlier on, you said you predicted. And I know before we started the show, when you and I were talking, you said that you had predictions. I think either during COVID or before COVID that ended up coming true. Can you talk about some of that?
Yeah, at the very early stage of COVID, I was actually going to start my world tour. Remember, I published Happy Money. And then just imagine where is my first city? That first city happened to be the epicenter of the
Oh,
COVID.
wow.
So in January, I heard my lecture, which is scheduled in February, was going to be canceled because the city office doesn't allow big gathering. And I asked them why. And there is this some kind of influenza going on, and so they're shutting all the public gatherings. And like I feel very weird. And there is no word of COVID or anything, right? That's the end of January. And then our event was canceled. And then I was in touch with my friend. I was more aware of what's going on. And I just did a little research if there's any flight going out from the city. And I realized there's many direct flights to Tokyo, to New York, and all the Milan and all the other major cities. So when there was only 20 cases in North America, I predicted in my YouTube channel that this is going to be global. Everybody, you know, there is a big earthquake happening. So the big tsunami is coming. It's going to take a month. So you have 1 month to prepare business into online and get, you know, go out and just buy masks and, you know, get groceries. All the people who listened to me was so ready when the shock will just hit me. So I have thousands of people appreciated me for predicting there will be a big tsunami coming. And I'm doing the same thing for economy. So I said at around the time, which is 2 years ago, there will be three stages. One will be the COVID, which is I studied a lot about Spanish flu, and it lasted about 2 years. So Spanish flu, about 100 years ago, you know, lasted 2 years. So this is going to end in 2 years. A lot of people say it's going to be over in a few months. No. It's going to take 2 years. And after that, what's going to happen is economy crash. You know, after that, it's, you know, Great Depression happened. So we are going into that. And also, I don't want to see that coming, but there could be a World War III. But this time, there may not be so many bombings and stuff, but there will be an economy and the cyber wars. So you have to fasten up your seatbelt for big change, but you don't have to be afraid. Hang in there for another 4 years, which is by 2026, I think we're going to experiencing something beautiful. But until then, we have to go through a lot of things, which I feel and I think we need to be ready for a big change, which is going to happen fairly soon. And I think which is happening right now in the Wall Street and in China and in Europe and all over the world. So, but with, once again, I don't want you to be afraid because this is going to bring us together. You know, we're in this together. So as much as it's scary, but we need to be.
It's terrible news in a way, having gone through what we've gone through for this long, and then to hear another 4 years, this does feel biblical. However, I am very curious, what's the connection? How did you piece together a health crisis, a world crisis, then connect it to finances, and then world unrest? How did that puzzle manifest for you to understand?
Right. So my mentor, Wahei Takeda, he believed in 80-year cycle of history. We repeat the history. So what happened 100 years ago are likely to happen now because, you know, we forget. And I experienced a huge real estate bubble and a stock bubble in 1980s in Japan. I was a teenager and also it was in my 20s. I saw a lot of smart people invested so heavily in real estate and everybody said it's going to go up. It's a new economy. And the same thing happened in US and the same thing happened in China. So I've been telling everybody, you know, watch out because this cannot last forever. And in China, it's they're having such a tough time because nobody wants to buy real estate. So it's going to go down. And the same thing is going to happen everywhere. So all the positive people will go down because you cannot stay that way. You know, it's a universal law. So and also, you know, I've been doing a lot of money seminar, right? And very young people like age 17, 18, and also people who are school teachers, I call them money indifferent people. And they don't think about money. But they asked me last year, Ken, I want to invest into Bitcoin. Do you think I can do that? Then I realized Okay, this is a story in 1929 when a shoeshine boy comes to a stock dealer and saying, I'm buying a stock, which one is going to shoot up? And then he went back to the office and he sold everything. And a few weeks later, a big crash happened. The same thing, when money in different people suddenly realize that they are late for the party, they come in. That's when the bubble starts to burst. So I said about sometime last year, it's not the time to invest because everything is going to go down. That is the law of economy. And then if you just Google, you know, in 1920s and it goes like that, and then it wants go up and down. So we are at the last stage of the bubble. So let's see what happens in October. And so the next time when we have a chat again, you probably said, Ken, you know, it's been an interesting few years. And then look what happened. But after that, I think we're going to experience something beautiful. So I'm just looking forward to that. And until then, we have to really hang in there and then focus on what we can give to the world. And then if you feel like you have more than enough, this is a time that you share your wealth.
Yes.
You share what you have with other people. And if you did that, they will remember you forever.
Yeah.
So your kids will be appreciated. You'll be appreciated. People, they send you love for the rest of their life.
Yes.
So there's this saying, when famine happens, you know, rich people have to decide. They open up their storage unit and then release all the food for the hungry, or just stay inside and watch people suffer and die. And my mentor, Wahed Takeda, was looking for a day when everything goes bad, he is so waiting for the day to share his wealth and share all the food. So he said to me, Ken, when that happens, just I hope you become the one who support all the people who are hungry and you know, thirsty. So I'm getting ready for the next big step.
When you say it is not a time to invest, but there may be some people who have disposable income, and isn't it actually a good time to invest? I understand the story you told, different than what I'm meaning here.
Yeah.
But a good time to invest in something when it's so low, because if you can ride it out for the 4, 6, 10 years or more, it will eventually go way up and be worth the investment?
It may be, but the trend is so different. You know, it's not like 10-year trend that goes down and go up. We've experienced so much high, so it could go down for many years.
I see.
Yeah, so instead of investing in visible assets, I talk about a lot about invisible assets. Invisible assets is something that you cannot see. Trust, friendship, and also popularity, you know, and those things are super important, but overlooked. So instead of investing real estate, gold, and all those things, you have to invest in people's memories that if people remember who you are, they'll come back to you after the crash or the economy. And we're going to experience a new, a totally new transformation. We may end up using a different currency in a few years. And then when that happens, if people still remember you and who you are, and they can come back to you, because after everything, we're still going to need to eat, need to cut hair, need to wear something. So, you know, we keep going. So instead of just investing in something that may lose all the value, you know, that happened to some cryptocurrency last year and this year, you can invest in people. You take out your friends to dinner, or just give some little cash, or just do something nice for your friends and distant friends, and they remember you, and so they want to pay you back in a future. So I'd recommend, if you're not super wealthy, I think you should invest in people's memories. that so you'll be trusted by people.
Yeah, it's so perfect. In your book, you talk about people who want to transform their relationship with money, mm-hmm. and your book talks about creating a happy flow of money.
Yes.
And then you give examples, and I'm going to just say a few, and then if you can riff on that and give some suggestions, mm-hmm. donating money, giving yes. money to friends, sending a gift, etc. What are some other happy money flow suggestions?
So this is what I did 20 years ago before I became a writer. I started writing short essays on happiness and money, and I stapled them and started to give away to my friends. And I found it so much fun sharing my ideas. So I ended up printing 3,000 copies, and that became another 3,000, another 5,000. And by the time I gave away 100,000 physical copies, booklets, a publisher called me and they asked me to write a book. So share them something you have in a form of digital or physical presence. So if you are willing to share, people notice you. So the reason why I'm not afraid of money is that it's not that I have a lot of money. It's not that it's just if I lose everything, I have so many people who are going to help me. So they'll make sure that I'm not going to fall. So I have so many trusted friends and older people or perfect strangers who are probably going to help me, because in the past 20 years, I've helped them grow, helped them transform their relationship. So I know that they're going to bring me some food when I'm hungry, or money, or the people. So I have a complete trust that I have given away so much already, so I'll be well taken care of. So I not only I have money, but I have all the fun network that I created over the years. So that is far more important. So you need to have more friends who let you stay for 1 week. If you have more than 50 friends, you're okay.
Yeah,
so
it's a year.
You need to have more friends than money.
Amazing. You know, 3 years ago when you were on the show, I'll just say your show still just on one platform is, I don't know if it's the most views, but look, I've been doing this over 15 years, mm-hmm. but you're up there. You're one of the shows with the most. And I notice things. I still get comments on our interview together. So it's like this energy you're talking about right now, mm-hmm. this gifting, this giving, this love, this appreciation, this arigato. It is even felt, I think, by people through your interviews, this mm-hmm. kindness that you have.
Thank you so much. And that's why my books have been sold more than 8 million copies. And my podcast has been downloaded over 50 million people. It's almost half the population of Japan.
Beautiful.
The reason is that when we worry, you know, we can solve a situation by sharing, you know, by making more money. You cannot heal your worries. So only by sharing, only by giving, you can feel that you have more than enough. That's a weird thing. You know, theoretically, you think that if you gain more money, your money worries will disappear. But I have interviewed a lot of millionaires and billionaires. Making more money is not the solution because they feel like they need more.
Mm.
So instead of going for more, you have to go to the different direction. When you feel like you don't have enough, you have to start sharing a dollar to the box, sharing dollar to even a quarter or a dime or a cent. By giving away, you've just realized maybe I have more than enough. This feeling of maybe I have more than enough is far more powerful than making $1,000 more, because money is energy. So only by sharing, you know that you have. Knowledge is the same thing. Love is the same thing. When you feel like you need more love, not just if you ask for love, you don't get it. But if you just share your love, you'll feel loved. So that is a law of the universe.
Such a good message to just give freely. And it comes back, just like the 50 friends, and you have a place to stay 1 week, a different friend every week during a year. God forbid, if you need it, you're good.
Yeah. And that could be a lot of fun. So I can't, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
That is a great way to look at it. It's an adventure to couch surf. Yeah. Also, in your book, you ask this question, if money were a person, who would it be? Mm-hmm. And all I could think is, wow, with all the people you've worked with your radio show podcast, with your speaking, your seminars, et cetera, and your online, what kind of answers have you heard to this over the years? What have been some standouts about what money would be if it were a person?
Yeah. And also the other favorite one is, if money was an animal, what would it be?
Huh.
Interesting. So, yeah, if money was a person, you know, some people say my neighbor, you know, or like interesting thing was comment was serial killer. You have to watch out. Otherwise, money's going to, you know, kill you. And if money was a animal, people say it's a cat. You like to pet them, but when you need them, they're gone. Cats are like that, right? So cats could be dogs, right? If money was a dog, is that a German Shepherd or a, you know, Golden Retriever? It's a different kind of dog, right? So just enjoy, just play with it. And then you realize that you are more scared of money, or you may find it more fun. And ideally, I wish, and I hope money becomes your best friend. You know, best friend will do anything for you. I did a world tour a couple of months ago, and I just came up this idea. I was invited to Germany. I was invited to Australia. Maybe if I go west, I can go to Australia. It's like, you know, Christopher Columbus had this inspiration. If you go west, I go to India. And then, you know, money was my best friend. So I call up my travel agent, and then my world ticket was there next day, right? So if you let money help you, what you get, what you want to get, money can be your best friend. And so a best friend will do anything for you. So you don't need to worry about it. When you buy a house or like retreat center, money will there, can, you know, go bless the world by with this retreat center. So that's, I got this 10 years ago. And then we can see 60 people here. A lot of them got married, you know, they met here. So, and also I have at least a dozen babies, you know, out of this place.
Panda babies.
Yes. So, I, you know, and one day I'm going to tell them, you know, your parents met here, and then you're made here.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Really? Oh, that's big what you're giving the world. So Ken,
yes.
Is there a ritual? Is there a practice that you use every day to keep yourself spiritually fit, grounded, anything like that? Healthy, happy?
So I, before or just when I'm going to wake up, you know, I usually spend a few minutes in bed and start thinking what my day would look like. You know, it's sort of like a drowsy mode. And you know, like I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning. I'm going to have a, you know, I'm going to be interviewed by Debbie. Wow, I'm so excited. She's like, you know, I remember you're like a Hollywood type of person. So like I'll be interviewed by this Hollywood celebrity. Wow, you know, I can't wait. And then after that, I'm going to have a staff meeting, which is fun. And also, this is the last day for the retreat. Wow, I don't know what's going to happen, but a lot of people will remember this is a day that they're going to change their life, because we're going to come up with the titles for the books. And then think about 50 people writing bestsellers. At least we can impact 1 million people from this room right next to this. So, and then I hear all the thank you from the future clients of them. And then I become like a grandfather, right? Because they are my babies. They're my kids. And then they're going to have another kids. So like their books are like my grandchildren. So in my bed, oh God, it's going to be so much fun. And then I can't wait to get up. So that's how I start my day.
That's beautiful. Do you set an intention? It sounds like part of what you're doing is imbuing everything with the excitement and the joy, like telling it, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be exciting. It's going to create into the future and all these ripples.
Yes, it is. And at the end of the day, I think back on all the fun things that happened and I appreciate it. And on the negative side, I think of some bad things, what I did or what somebody did to me or didn't do to me. And then feel the impact. I was hurt. I don't know what I did. You know, I said something so bad. And like yesterday, I said something so bad to one of the participants. You know, one lady's skirt was so beautiful and the nice fabric. So I said, wow, this is a beautiful fabric. And I said, that's like the best curtain, you know, on the store. Like, oh my God, why did I say that? You know, I'm sure she felt offended, but she laughed and no, I didn't mean that, you know, but I wanted to say it's a first class, but I said, wow, it's like a great curtain. And then why did I say that? So like at night, oh, I'm so sorry for what I said. But I forgive myself for being so stupid, just telling a beautiful person, your skirt looks like a beautiful curtain. How bad is that? But I forgive myself. And, okay. And she forgave me and she laughed with me. So, okay. So I forgive myself and I laugh and smile. And I think I lose my consciousness and I think probably I go to bed.
Nice. That's like taking inventory before you go to sleep. And
yeah, so both positive and negative. And I just try to just clean everything, clear all the energy before I go to sleep. Mm. So I think probably I'm different because I do a lot of negative work too. People probably appreciate a few things and then go to sleep. But I deal with the negative too. So both positive and negative and all reset and then go to sleep.
And the best place for people to find you is kenhonda.com.
Yes, I'm translating a lot of information into English. And I studied an English online community called Arigato Living Community. We have a lot of people from 20 different countries. So we get together once or twice a month and learn about happy money and learn from each other. And that is my favorite time too.
Nice. And this is Dare to Dream, Ken. So what are you next Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
So I hope we'd feel less stressed about money and focus on what's more important in our lives. In our families, you know, we fight because we think money is more important than your kids' feelings. So, we may get up or upset over money. So I hope we will focus more on what's important and then deal with money later. And if we start doing that, we have more intimate relationship with a couple, with a family, and with friends and companies and countries. So my dream will be we have 5% less stress about money and then see what happens. And if we can do that, let's decrease 10% more. So if we focus on more on our loving communication than frustration, I think we'll have more beautiful energy in our life. And by experiencing more happy and peaceful energies in your life, you know there is another way of living. So instead of living in fear, we can enjoy life more. Even though negative things happen, even though what you did certain things wrong, like I said, such a terrible thing to a person, and then can you forgive yourself and can you forgive other people for doing things wrong or not doing things right?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming back today. It's been
so thank you so fun. Much. Yeah. I hope there will be the third time. You know, I hope you'd say, oh, I had enough of Ken Honda. I hope you invite me back. And I'm sending all my love and blessings that I have for you, Debbie. Mm-hmm. You're doing such a great, beautiful work, and all the viewers across the nations. And I hope all the great things will keep happening to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody could receive that. That was a real blessing.
Thank you.
I end today's quote. Thank you. Arigato. I end today's show with this quote from William Ward. Before you speak, listen. Before you write, think. Before you spend, earn. Before you invest, investigate. Before you criticize, wait. Before you pray, forgive. Before you quit, try. Before you retire, save. Before you die, give. Reminder, Ken's book is Happy Money, and you can go on Amazon and all major bookstores to get it. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation. Send it to people you know who will love it, like it, leave a comment. I read all of them. And thank you so much for joining us today. Next week in the show, I am featuring master trans-channel and psychic medium Riz Mirza. He will be here to channel and grace us with his wisdom teachings. Thank you so much for joining us today. And let money flow through you and through your life like air. And may you have way more than you thought you ever could beyond your wildest dreams.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it.